Good morning. Matt, I will tell you, when you were looking for me, the thought of running did. It often occurs. So, open your Bible with me to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. We'll look at this entire passage this morning, but let's begin in verse 9 of Psalm 111. Here we read, "He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name." He. We start this passage with He. Almighty God. He. All things begin with God. In Genesis 1, verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God." And listen to just a few of these scriptures. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. All things are of God. By Him were all things created." We refer to God's Word as a hymn book, because everything in this book concerns Him. It's all about Him. And our text says, He. Now look back at the beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 111. And let's see what this says about Him. It says, "Praise ye the Lord." Verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He hath showed His people the power of His works, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen. The works of His hands are verity and judgment. All His commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, and are done in truth and in uprightness." Now back to verse 1, we read, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly." In the assembly of the upright, as we sit together as an assembly of friends, having fellowship together. And in the congregation, the appointed meeting, when God's saints meet together, "Praise ye the Lord." And if you have a margin in your Bible, another way to say that is to simply say, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He who is worthy of praise. He who is worthy of all praise." In Psalm 145, David said this, "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever." I'm pretty confident in our day, we've let organized religion rob us of some of these words in God's Scripture. And the one is this word, hallelujah. I think sometimes we're hesitant to use that word. Men often use it. I used to work with a man, and I mean, he'd be talking about lunch, and somehow the word hallelujah would enter into it because it was delivered on time. That's not how we use this word. This word is a term of praise. We're praising Almighty God. But yet we've let man rob us of that, of this glorious word. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Men have their these so-called religious places, they have their praise teams and just the flippant use of the word. Let's not let man rob us of praising our God. And may God give us a true heart to praise Him that liveth forever and ever. Let's read on in Psalm 111. Verse 1, we see He who is worthy of praise. And then verse 2, we see He whose works are great. You see that? The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. His works. Oh, how marvelous are His works. Consider His works in creation. Turn back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 19. Here we read of His works in creation. It says here, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament His handiwork. God, who in creation commanded the light to shine out of darkness, He said, let there be light. When there was nothing but darkness, He declared, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Huh? He brought about light. He created it. His works in creation. His works in providence. Romans 8:28. We're familiar with this passage, aren't we? Huh? We know. We forget that first part. We know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Noah saw, think about this, in providence, Noah saw the entire earth destroyed, save him and his family. Job lost all that he had, huh? All his possessions. Abraham was willing to sacrifice His only Son. But yet we read this, all things work together. All these things, whether we understand them, and in most, I think most times we don't. There's much we don't understand. We might pretend to, but there's much we do not understand. But we do know this. We know all things work together for good. All things. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar. He said, this is the decree of the Most High. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be driven from men. Your dwelling is going to be with the beast of the field. You're going to eat grass like the oxen for 7 years till you know this, that the Most High ruleth. He rules in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and He giveth it to whomsoever He will. God is sovereign. His sovereignty in providence. And God did what He said He was going to do, didn't He? Huh? You remember that? At the end of those days, Nebuchadnezzar, he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said this. He said, I lift up mine eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. And he said, I bless the Most High and praised and honored Him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom from generation to generation, who doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can say unto Him, none can stay His hand, or say unto Him, what doest thou? His works declare who He is. He is sovereign, almighty God. Now back in our text, back here in Psalm 111, verse 3, still considering this word, He. Huh? Look at verse 3. Here we read of His work. His work. What is His work? Well, we know this. It's honorable and it's glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. His work. In verse 2, we read of His works. But here we read of His work. Turn to John chapter 17. John 17, verse 4. Our Lord speaks here. He says this. He said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work. The work. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What work was that? His death on the cross. The work of saving his people. The work of salvation. In Philippians 1:6, Paul writing to the Philippians, he said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he'll perform it. He'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And on the cross, what did he cry? This work, it's singular, isn't it? He said, it is finished, didn't he? It is finished. His work is honorable. The work of saving his people. His righteousness, his salvation, it endureth forever. An everlasting, eternal, effectual salvation for his people. In Isaiah 45:7, we read this, Israel shall be saved in the Lord with a everlasting salvation. Psalm 111, verse 4. What else does it say here? Huh? Verse 4. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's gracious. He saves us by his grace. Verse 5. He hath given meat unto them that fear him. He will be ever mindful of his covenant. He hath showed his people the power of his works, that he may give them the heritage of the heathen. Consider what the children of Israel saw with regard to Almighty God's power. We looked at a few of these things in our Bible school this morning. He said this to Pharaoh. He said, for this cause have I raised thee up, that I might show in thee my power, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Remember, he turned the water to blood. And he sent frogs and lice and flies and that murrain of cattle and boils and hail and locusts. All those different things. He sent darkness, and finally he sent the death of the firstborn. Yet in all these things, he delivered his children. He delivered the children of Israel, his special people. Look at verse, let's read on here. The works of his hands are verity and judgment, and all his commandments are sure, truth and justice. He's faithful. Almighty God is faithful to his people. All his commandments are sure. Paul writing to Timothy, he said, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. We should stop and consider these things. Should we? Sometimes I feel like we read through these scriptures too quickly and fail to give. How can we ever give full consideration to them? But think about it. The Lord knoweth them that are his. I have two boys and a daughter-in-law, and I know them. Think about how we know our children. Huh? We're his children. He knows us. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And all that he has appointed, all that he has decreed, shall stand. Nothing's going to stand in the way of his decree. His purpose shall stand eternally. Verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Now again, let's look at this verse 9. I've just... four points here. Four reasons to praise him. Four reasons to praise Almighty God. And listen, the first one is this. He sent redemption. He sent redemption. Not only one to deliver, but he sent deliverance. Not only did he send a redeemer, but he redeemed his people. He sent redemption. Full redemption. In Luke 1:68, the scriptures declare, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and hath redeemed his people. Now, false religion would try to convince us of this, that he tried to redeem. That's what, whether they realize it or not, that's what they're saying. He tried to redeem. He attempted to redeem. They say he made a down payment and you take care of the rest of it. Where this foolishness comes from? Listen, a down payment with man owing the balance? We don't pay our bills, do we? Listen, God's word declares this, an accomplished, effectual, complete redemption. And it's His. It's His. He redeemed us from sin. He redeemed us from Satan. He redeemed us from the law. Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The idea of a payment, the wages of sin is death. That's what sin requires. The sentence of condemnation and death was upon us. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ took that upon Himself. He paid the redemption price in full. He paid it with his own blood. He bore the wrath of His Father on the tree, and He paid the sin debt. He paid the purchase price for His people. He bore His wrath on His body, in His body, on the tree. One man said this, he drank damnation dry. Huh? Peter, 1 Peter 1, he said, you weren't redeemed with corruptible things, not from silver and gold. Now these things are valuable, but they cannot pay the redemption price. The redemption price is so much higher than that. He said, you're redeemed from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, not by a religious show, not by outward works, not by waving of the hands. Men put on a spectacular show, don't they? Huh? But that's all it is a show. We must have, listen, doing this or not doing that, that's not where salvation is found. Salvation is found in Christ alone. We read this by the deeds of the law, by our doing and dying, or by our refraining from doing things. By the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in His sight. The believer is justified by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The redemption price. Listen, we read in our text, He sent redemption, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Just like that, much like that Passover lamb we read about in the Old Testament. And that blood is revealed throughout the Scriptures. Men, I don't know if squeamish is the term to use, but men don't want to talk about blood. But my friends, we must have the blood. Apart from the blood, there is no life. When Adam sinned, what did God do? He slew an animal and He clothed Adam and Eve. There was bloodshed, wasn't there? Now, the high priest, when he went in to the Holy of Holies, he didn't dare go in there without blood. The Passover lamb. That Passover lamb, that blood had to be shed. All these things picture and point to our Lord Jesus Christ. Only His precious sin-atoning blood, only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will do. We can shed all of our own blood we want to. It's not going to pay for anything. So we have His redemption. And then we have His people. This redemption that God sent, who was it for? Well, the Scriptures declare this, that it's for His people. Isn't that clear? Look at Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption unto His people. Who are His people? Well, that word's interpreted. It's a particular people. A particular people, a nation, a kindred, a people. Over in Revelation 5, verse 9, we read that Thou hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. It's His people. It's His flock. It's His sheep. It's a people. It's that great shepherd. He has a flock, doesn't he? He has His sheep. It's a people for which He died, and it's a people which He saved. In Matthew 1, verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Who? Who did he come to save? His people. Huh? "He shall save his people from their sin." Our Lord said this. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Huh? It's a purchased people. A people purchased with his own blood. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit hath made you an overseer. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." A people that's been his from eternity. He chose us in Christ. A people chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. His people by choice. His choice. His choice. In John 15:16, our Lord said, "You've not chosen me." That's the word. That's what the word. They make bumper stickers, don't they? Listen, "You've not chosen me, but I have chosen you." I haven't heard this hymn for a while, but here's the words. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me." Huh? What else do we know of his people? We were people going astray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned each one of us to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. On this thing of sheep, I don't know a lot about sheep. I worked on a cattle farm, but I've been around sheep a little bit. And there's two things that I believe are true of them. One, they're filthy animals, from what I can tell. And two, they're not very smart. I was working for a fellow the other day, and one of the sheep had got outside the fence, and there was a hole where that sheep had come through the fence. And it was 5 feet away. All the other sheep were inside the fence. And this one sheep just kept running into the fence. Without someone to guide it, it just kept running into the fence. We must have that shepherd. Oh, we must have the great shepherd of the sheep. And as sheep, we've wandered far from the fold. Huh? We've wandered far from the fold. How far have we gone? Well, the scriptures declare this, that we're dead in trespasses and sin. Huh? We're a kept people. His people are kept by the power of God. A redeemed people. We just read that he sent redemption unto his people. And listen, if he sent redemption to his people, rest assured, his people are redeemed. Huh? We shall be redeemed. He loved us and he gave himself for us. A people called by the Spirit of God. He said, "My sheep, they hear my voice." And he speaks to us through his word by the power of his Spirit. A people he knows by name. Think about that. Consider that. Huh? He calls. Not only does he know us, he knows us by name. Zacchaeus, he said, "Come down." Huh? Matthew, "Follow me." Lazarus, "Come forth." Can we all put our name there when he called us? He calls his. He knows them so intimately. He knows them by name. A people eternally his. Our Lord said this. He said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." His redemption. His people. And then the word here, it speaks of his covenant. Huh? He hath commanded his covenant forever. His promise, that covenant of grace, David in back there in 2 Samuel, he said, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, an eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. An eternal, eternal covenant made with Christ from the beginning. Our surety, our sanctification, the mediator of all, given him, given Christ by the Father. Our Lord said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father chose, all that the Son purchased, all that the Spirit of God calls to himself, his covenant is forever. And then fourth, his name. His name. Psalm 111, verse 9. Holy and reverend is his name. We read, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We read, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That name which is above every name. That name at which every knee is going to bow, that every tongue is going to confess, that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Ethiopian eunuch, he'd been to some religious meeting, and he was returning from Jerusalem. He had taken a trip to the so-called Holy Lands, and he was sitting there in his chariot reading God's Word. He was reading in Isaiah. He was reading about a lamb. He read this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. And his humiliation, the humiliation of being made sin, being hung on the cross, bearing the shame and reproach of his people, the humiliation of dying under the wrath and judgment of Almighty God. It says his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? When sin was found on the Lord Jesus Christ, God slew him. And the eunuch asked Philip, he said, is this man, is he talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else? Is he speaking of himself, or is he speaking of another? And Philip began at the same scripture. Said earlier, this book, it's about him. And all scripture, it points. That's what we need to do, is we need to find Christ in his word. It points to him. And Philip began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. And at some point, that eunuch, he said, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. And he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip asked one question. He said, do you believe? Do you believe? And the answer, that eunuch, it was this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. My friends, this was one for whom God sent redemption. This was one of his people. This was one resting in his covenant. This is one that called upon his name. Who gets the glory in that? Huh? Man doesn't get glory in that, does he? Almighty God gets glory in that. Look at verse 10. And we'll close here. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. I ask you again, who gets the glory? Huh? God gets the glory. He does. And that, I guess we could have had 5 points here. Fifth would have been his praise. But that takes us, listen, that takes us right back to verse 1. We just start all over again. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his name.